2 Corinthians. Sierra, you look so beautiful. Not everybody can wear a leg cast. Look at that beautiful. I'm telling you, a leg brace. Your daddy wore a leg brace many times. He never looked that pretty. That's what I like that. So you got to look at what you had to start with. That's right. There you go. God is so awesome. Stand for the reading of the word. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. God is so good. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That means somebody look at somebody and say, you ain't nothing but clay. If you think you're more than clay, pull the plug and see how long you last. Amen? After a few days, you're going to see the clay come out. Amen? Amen. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Amen? So it means is when you got to get with it, and when the world's seen you get with it, they'll know that it's not you, it's more than you. And they'll come to you and ask you, how do you keep doing this? Because they know you're about to, look, you're going through something that would put a normal person in the hospital, mental hospital, and you're making it. How are you doing it? Because, listen, God's power is showing through your clay. Amen? I was telling somebody the other day, they said, I just feel so broken. I said, just remember this, the more broken a vessel is, the more light will shine through it. Amen? The more broken it is, the more light shines through it. Some of y'all look, we should be beacons, huh? Amen. Amen. That the excellency of power may be of God, not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. You're awesome. You're just awesome for us all the time. God, we don't even deserve all the stuff you keep doing for us, Lord, because, Lord, no matter, you're there for us, and we thank you, God. You never turn your back on us. You've got our best interests at heart. Even when we feel like it isn't, we know that you do, and we can trust you in that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, all right, shake somebody's hand on the way down and tell them the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Isn't God good? That's right. I go into the paper towel box, Kleenex box, and it's empty. Amen. There you go. See, these are holy Kleenexes because they come out of the church. All right. They come out of the sanctuary. Amen. All right, let me tell you something now. There was a husband and a wife were both getting up in years. And matter of fact, I think it was Brother Billy and Sister Dorothy. I'll never put him in one of these things, so I'll put him in one of these right now. Brother Billy and Sister Dorothy woke up one morning, and Sister Dorothy takes his hand and he says, don't touch me. And she says, why not? He says, because I'm dead. And she says, what are you talking about? We're laying here talking to one another. He said, no, I'm definitely dead. And she says, you're not dead. What makes you think you're dead? He said, because I know I'm dead because I woke up this morning and nothing hurts. Have you ever had one of those days? Look at here. You see what's going on here? You know, we've been talking a lot about, in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about trials and talking about things. And in everybody's life, there's going to come a time when the dust settles. You see here, here's a Marine. He's in combat, and he's called in the cannons. I'm trying to think of what you call artillery. He's called in artillery, and now he's sitting here now, and he's waiting for everything to clear down so he can get back to his helicopter. And he's also to make sure the mission is being completed. And so now, after the dust settles, I was riding down the road the other day, and this thought came to me, after the dust settles. You know, a lot of times, what do we do after we feel like we've been torn apart, chewed up and spit out? What do we do when we feel like we've just come to the end of our rope, and now God made a way where there was no way? God helped us through the trial. God, help us go through that pain and that misery. And now what do we do? Because here, right in this point, at this point, is make it or break it. You thought that the trial was make it or break it. No, the trial was not make it or break it. This is the make it or break it point right here. Because during the trial, God was building you. During the trial, God was doing something for you that you could not do on your own. Matter of fact, don't look where you fail. Whenever you go through something, don't look where you fail. Go back to where you slipped. Listen carefully. Don't go back to where you fail. Go back to where you slipped. And you'll find that's where God started the work in you. Not where you fail, but where you slipped. That's what God's trying to do. So after the dust settles, I don't know what we're going to do after the dust settles. Well, how many ever felt like that? You know, you had one of those days. Anybody ever had one of those weeks? One of those months? One of those years? Eddie talked the other day and talked about decades. There you go, Eddie. Have you ever had one of those decades? That's for Eddie. Amen. Not saying that Eddie had one of those decades. He just thought about it. He knows somebody's got one. Eddie never has any problems, do you, Eddie? Just playing with you, man. Look, I want you to think about something. Often, and listen carefully, often your crisis is part of his growth plan. You think Satan's trying to take you down. You say that, you're blaming Satan, and you're all so mad, and you're casting out Satan, and you're rebuking Satan, and you're, oh man, Satan, if I get my hands on you, if I could get my hands on you, I would tear you from limb to limb. And God says, you're arguing with the wrong man. Woo! Oh, I love this. Y'all ain't listening, are you? He got it. You're arguing with the wrong man. I'm allowing this to happen because I don't want you to stay the way you are. Woo! Wow. I'm allowing this to happen for you. You remember last week, God's not allowing this to happen to you. God's allowing this to happen for you because it's through this that we see some very powerful stuff. So here's God's plan. I got some awesome explanations, but watch this. When you find yourself being thrown off the horse, when you find the winds blowing you down, watch this. When everything seems to be going against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. Wow. The airplane takes off. You know what happens? If it takes off against the wind, it doubles its speed. If it takes off against the wind, it doubles its lift. You think it didn't take off with the wind? No. If you take off with the wind, it slows it down. It takes away its drag. But if you go against the wind, the drag causes it to get faster and rise faster. So some of y'all are going through drag right now and thinking, why in the world is all this drag on me? And I'm trying to get it, and I can't seem to be getting anywhere. I wish the wind was to my back. Because if the wind was to my back, I almost fell off there. Praise God. I'm trying to get used to these glasses. If I fall, y'all just go, hey, he's just getting used to his glasses. Don't laugh. Too loud. Okay. So I took care of you, Benny. I'll explain that in a minute. You're covered. All right. So watch this now. Instead of asking God, why is this happening to me? God, why did this just... remember now, the dust is already settled. God came through for you. And now you're sitting here and you see God has come through for you. And you're still sitting here trying to wonder, what just happened to me? So instead of asking why did you allow this to happen to me, start asking him what. What? Watch this. What do you want me to learn? What was the reason for this trial? Because God never allows a trial without a reason. God never allows us to be hit below the belt unless there's a reason for it. So instead of asking God, why did this happen? What do you want me to learn? But then it's after the smoke clears. What then? I'm glad you asked. Did somebody just ask? I thought I heard somebody ask that. That's what happened to Doug Thursday night on the way to the prison. I was trying to get somebody to volunteer for something. And Patrick said, Doug just did. Doug weren't riding with us. Doug drove separately because he had a dentist appointment. So Patrick said, Doug just volunteered. I said, really? He said, yeah, I'll volunteer. And so when we got there, I said, Doug, you already volunteered in the van. He said, I thought so. That was awesome. Okay, so watch this now. This is awesome. I want you to pay close attention. Because look. Here's your plan. My plan, God, it may be a little uphill, but not much. I may have to stretch a little bit, but not a whole lot. I'm going to name it and claim it, blab it and grab it all the way through to get exactly what you want from me. See the guy riding his bicycle all the way up to the finish line? Just a little bit of incline here and a little bit of incline there. Just a little bit of effort. That's what we want. That's what we want to have. How many would like to have that for your goal? Just to barely have to give it some energy to get what God's got for you. But if you look down there, it's God's plan. God's plan, look at this. There's rocks. There's a bridge. You got to go around a boat. You got to go through storms. God's got all these bumps, and you're thinking you're climbing. All of a sudden, you're down again. You think you're climbing, then you're down again. You think you're climbing in a big fall. And you're thinking, wait a minute, God. That's not my plan, God. God says, well, do you want your plan or my plan? If you want your plan, then you're going to wind up where you think you may want to be, but you're going to find out that's not the place. If you want to be where I want you to be, that's my plan. Wow. You see, the top plan is just maybe might break out in a little bit of a sweat. The bottom plan, you're going to be on your knees asking God in the midnight hour to help you. You're going to go through the winds. You're going to see rain, snow, sleet, those storms like came last night. You're going to see that sort of thing when you're going God's way. But God's not doing it to destroy you. He's doing it to build you. So again, here's Paul. Paul's talking. Here we go, Paul. Come on, buddy. Get up there. There you go. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 again, we'll read it. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, see, if I'm doing that front line, just at the top line, I can do that on my own. I don't need any help. I just got to pedal a little harder. If I'm taking the bottom one, guess what? Now I got to have God's help. Because I can't do it on my own. Anybody here can do it on your own? If you can do it on your own, obviously you're not taking God's path. Amen? So we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I love this version here. We now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We are knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Wow, that's some heavy-duty stuff. So let's just watch this. This is so powerful. Let's learn the lessons. We're going to learn lessons how to handle it when the smoke clears. Number one, when the smoke clears, learn the lessons. Think about it. God, tell me what you're trying to teach me. Help me learn it and make the changes. You see, every crisis, there's never one apart from this. Every crisis has lessons. And when we have these lessons show us how to adjust. And once we adjust, then we're to make these changes and we're to move forward. You know, I like the scripture here, the first scripture, of course. It says, give instruction to a wise man, he'll be wiser still. Teach a just man, he'll increase in learning, Proverbs 9:9. But my favorite, Bethany's favorite, is, it was good for me that I've been afflicted. It was good for me that I was pressed. It was good to me that I had to go through troubles and trials. It was good for me that I felt like I could hardly walk sometimes, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Matter of fact, I like this. I've seen this as Mighty Army before. I can do nothing about the direction of the wind, but I can adjust the sails. I was sitting here playing a while ago, and I thought about it. There was Brandon playing, and I thought about, you know what? He cut his finger off. I remember the day he cut his finger off. I got the call where he cut his finger off at Cherry Point. I come in, and I was praying, God, let him be able to put that finger back on so he can play his guitar finger. Let him get it back on, Lord, so he can keep on playing. Don't let him get discouraged. And I'm praying all this stuff, and by the time I get there, he's walking out. And I said, well, did they save it? He said, nope. And I said, well, you know what? You're going to play again. You watch. You will play again. Won't he play in today? With four and three quarters finger, he was playing. today. And throwing down, I might add. And on top of that, I remember the time we were at Pitt Detention Center getting ready to go in, and we get a call from D.C. and he said, "Daddy, I'm at the hospital. I've cut my thumb off." And we get to it. We cancel PCDC. We get to the hospital. Matter of fact, it was Patrick and Brandon and myself. We went in there, and he had cut his thumb all the way through here. And you can see the tendons hanging out. And he was saying, "Daddy, I won't be able to play the guitar again. I won't be able to hold my welding rod again," all kinds of stuff. Did it look like it bothered him much today? See, but if you could look at there and see his hand and see the scars, you go, "How's he doing that?" Look at his finger and see it messing and go, "How's he doing that?" You see me up there and know that my brain's been sucked out. You're going, "How's he doing that?" It was so funny this morning. Autumn got to hug Bethany. Bethany picked Autumn up and found out what happened. She picked her up. When she picked her up, she threw her over, and her braces got caught in Bethany's shirt. Brandon says, "How do you get your braces caught hugging somebody?" I said, "I'm sorry, Brandon. It's my fault. I had Bethany on the way up here, and it just transferred from Bethany to your daughter to you." Okay, that's how it works. Okay, and I took care of you too, Benny. I took care of you day before yesterday. I took care of you real good. Barbara called to be praying for her daughter because she's had the surgery. She said, "Benny's been there a long time without me. Can you please pray for him?" I said, "He don't need prayer." She said, "Why?" She says, "Is he doing good?" I said, "Yeah." Now he's wearing his shirt unbuttoned all down to here. I said, "He's wearing chains around his neck." I said, "Now he's slicked his hair back and he's rented him a Corvette." And she said, "Brother David." I said, "No, he's doing okay. He walks around crying all the time, wanting you back." So I helped you out, Benny. But friends like this, amen. Learn the lessons and make the changes. Learn the lessons. God's teaching you something. He may be teaching you minor adjustments. He may be teaching you major adjustments. He's trying to do something, but everything he does, if there is a loss, it's always connected to a plus. Remember this, every negative, in God's economy, every negative that comes your way is connected to a plus. So once the negative gets out of the way, you'll get a chance to see the plus. Amen? And that's an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. So first, learn the lesson, make the changes. Number two, here's one that's kind of hard to think about. Matter of fact, I got a granddaughter sitting right there that she's learned this one already. Watch this. Healing continues after the crisis passes. Remember last Sunday we got the call that she'd been taken off the field? And we all prayed for her. And right now she has to have surgery next Tuesday to correct the stuff that happened to her knee. And it's going to take a couple months. She's going to be out. How many months are you going to be out? 3 to 6 months. See, healing continues after the crisis passes. It heals in relationships. It heals in your mind. It heals in your heart. It heals in your spirit. After the crisis, and you're not healed immediately, or there's times where you are healed immediately, but even then you're going to have to stop. And watch this now. Remember, don't expect instantaneous healing. Matter of fact, here's the problem. We get emotional aftershocks. And after we get emotional aftershocks, here's what happens. We're going along fine. We're doing good. We're running through that bottom part, not the top part of God's plan, our plan. But we're going through that bottom part. We're doing okay. And then after we see the next obstacle, all of a sudden we get bumped thinking about the last obstacle. When we think about the last obstacle, all of a sudden now those hurts and those feelings and those pains are all coming back. And so we try to ask God, "God, can you do something about this?" And if we're not careful, we'll tend to dwell on the past. Now, if you're going to dwell on the past, please try to remember God delivered you. And God did a great work. Don't think about all the pain and all the hurt and just the negative. Remember, with every negative in God's economy, there's a positive connected to it. You got to remember that. So don't get stuck in the past. And if you have to, seek emotional help. Come see me. Come see somebody else. Go find a counselor somewhere. Just make sure they're Christian counselors. Make sure, when I say Christian counselors, here's a big mistake people make. Well, I'm going to them because I asked them when I called them, I said, you got any openings? Yes. Are you a Christian counselor? Yes. And you get there and you don't hear anything about God. Let me explain something to you. Just because somebody is a Christian does not mean they use the Bible to counsel you. Okay? I've seen this. There's Christian counselors who, there are Christians who use psychology only to counsel you. They just believe in God. They may be born again. Then there's Christian counselors who use the Bible greatly, and it's awesome, and it's straight Bible. That's where you want to be. If you don't want to be there, then there's also the pastoral counselors, which is what I am. A pastoral counselor is somebody that takes psychology and the Bible and blends it together and tries to take both sides of the coin and bring and help God to bring healing into your life. So either a pastoral counselor or a Christian counselor that uses the Bible. You know, I've seen somebody before that went to a Christian counselor having marriage problems. They went to a Christian counselor, a Christian who counseled. And after a couple of times, that person was ready to call it quits on their marriage because that counselor was using plain psychology and was asking the wrong questions and going about it the wrong way. So this person went to a Christian counselor. When they went to a Christian counselor, their whole idea changed about everything. Their whole life lit right back up because now they're having the word put in it, not just psychology. If you go to a regular counselor that does not use godly principles, the average of stuff sticking and the average healing that takes place that stays is about 50%. If you go to a Christian counselor, the average is about 95%. There's a big difference. Amen? You can't beat the Bible. You just can't beat the Bible. Amen? So look, sometimes you have to go seek some help. Now you have to seek some help. Remember this. So look, what's this? Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So remember, don't think just because the crisis is over that healing is automatic. Even if God heals your leg or heals your arm or heals a part of your body, you still have to go through the other things. So healing takes place long after the crisis. So don't be confused, all right? Now, next one. Look at that. I just can't get my mind off of that guy trying to fight that battle. Out there by himself, trying to call in coordinates. And it just blows my mind to think about that. There's been explosions and the helicopters and all this stuff going on around him. And he's trying to keep his focus to call in those coordinates in the middle of all this stuff. The next thing. Here's where a lot of Christians have stopped. After the crisis, get connected, get involved. We get in a crisis and all of a sudden, either because we've been hurt or because we don't know who to trust, whatever. We go through a crisis and then we try to handle the rest on our own. It's not going to work. God didn't make us to handle everything on our own. That's why he created the church, the body. It's called the body of Christ. There's a reason why it's called the body of Christ. It's because we all have a part to play in it. We got to remember this. Look. After the crisis, it's your responsibility to engage with the proper support you need. Again, local church, neighborhood services, and organizations. Like there's AA, and there's Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's for the guys that have been women that have had a problem with alcohol. There's Al-Anon, which is for the family members that they're dealing with trying to help their family members. So you got two different organizations that are there to help. You've got Narcotics Anonymous, and you got the same way with people that are having problems with narcotics. And these are all godly things. These are godly things, and they will teach you godly principles. And then you've got the one that supports the family of the people that are trying to help. But find a local support group. You know, get involved. Matter of fact, sometimes we go through things just so we can understand how it feels so we can help somebody else. There's a lot of things, you know, there's a lot of things that I didn't understand, but after I went through it, it changed the way I saw and the way I handled it when I ministered to people. A big change in how I ministered to people. Now, matter of fact, the Bible says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you're doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Today, I got to leave here today and go to Aiden. You know, remember that little kid, that little bitty one-year-old, less than a year old? I had a jar out there putting money in for him. He died. And so I'm going to go to his funeral today. I just talked to his mama last Saturday. She says, well, he's doing okay. And then she sends me a text day before yesterday, or Thursday, I was on the way to the prison ministry. Sent me a text, said Thomas has a service on Sunday at 2 o'clock, and that's all she said. I said, please don't tell me that he died. And she said he died. It was just like that. She said he died a couple of days ago. She said, I'm sorry I didn't put more down there, and sorry I didn't tell you. She said, I've just been so tore up, I don't know what to do. I said, I'll be there. She says, please be there. I said, I'll be there. And so I don't understand things, but you know, if you look at certain things in certain ways, you might be saying, God, I really hate that I'm going through this. It's like the man that went to Jesus, and Jesus said, what's your problem? He says, I don't like the cross you gave me to bear. He said, I tell you what, let's go in this room in here. They go in this room, and there's all kinds of crosses in there. He says, I tell you what, you pick out the cross you'd like to bear. And so he goes in, there's big crosses, and there's little crosses, there are wide crosses, there's heavy crosses, there are light crosses. And so he walks all through the crosses. He's sizing them all up, and he finally comes to the smallest cross in the room, the lightest cross in the room. He went, oh, yeah. There you go. He said, Jesus, I'll take this one. He said, how about that? You walk in and place the cross down and come back and pick it right back up, take it out, the same one I put in here. He didn't realize the cross he was bearing was not as heavy as it could be. And so we have to think about saying, I think about a little child, the mother, every time I go into Starbucks and I go over and talk to her, and she would just cry and cry and cry. And she'd say, I don't know what to do because this child has an incurable disease, and they said he may not live to be a year old. And that jar was not for his healing. That jar was just so she could get him some stuff that he needed to bring him some comfort. That was all it was. And so he died. And I'm thinking about the thing, you know, Daniel, cystic fibrosis, God healed him of that. D.C., good Lord, he healed him of all kinds of things that went on through his life. And being with both those boys all that time, and Bethany, all the stuff she went through, and God has raised her up. And I think about all that stuff, and sometimes I just get kind of tore up thinking, remember I told you I was sitting in there in the counseling room waiting for the counselor to come out to get Bethany, and I'm sitting there, and she finally took Bethany out, and I was sitting there thinking, God, this girl's been in counseling all these years, and because she'd been so abused and so beaten, had so many surgeries to fix her. And I said, Lord, this is so aggravating. Her being hurt like this, and we're all doing all this stuff all the time. I said, Lord, isn't there an easier way? And about that time, a wheelchair came in the counseling office and backed it right beside me. And that little bitty girl, who was about 8 or 9 years old, both her hands were burnt off. Burnt off. She had Band-Aids on her hands. You could see the sores on her neck and the sores on her face, and you see the bandages around her, and you could even smell. Her feet were burnt so bad that she couldn't even wear her tennis shoes. She just had her tennis shoes with them opened up and a tongue hanging out. And she looked over at me, and then she said, hey, are you having a good day? What she should have done, what really was, she was going, hey, did you have a good day? Really what happened was God was just reached right down. And he grabbed me by the collar, and he pulled me right up and said, and you think you got it bad? Turn over, boy. Go pick a switch. No matter how bad you think you got it, it's always worse. Amen? Amen. And so again, comfort one another. And don't comfort them by saying it can be worse. The Lord knows that's not much of a comfort. You comfort them by saying, I've been there, or I know somebody that's been there. I'm telling you, it's not easy, but you can get through it. God's there. Trust him. Amen? So get connected. Get involved. I'm almost through. Amen? How many let me do at least 10 more? You're going to 10 more what? Well, Benny's going to sit there because I got pictures of him with his chains on. See, it's amazing what you can do with cut and paste. No, I'm playing, Benny. I did tell her that, but I didn't take any pictures of you yet. Okay. All right. So now, watch this. Come on there. Wake up. Wake up a little soon. There you go. See that crisis? Anybody got any hurdles you're trying to jump? Amen. So now. Be careful. Watch this. If the problem reoccurs, you're going to be better prepared to handle it when it comes. You know, I've had crises in my life, and they come at me, and I'm going, I can't handle this, Lord. And Lord, show me how. Or somebody comes along and stands beside me and helps me get through the crisis. And I realized, oh, that's what you meant, Lord, when you said this. Oh, that's what you meant with this. And now I'm holding on. And next time I go through that same crisis, now I can handle it a lot better because now I'm more better equipped and I can help others through it. You see, so sometimes you can believe trouble's going to rear its head again. You know, it amazes me that my granddaughter had just won MVP the day before the tournament. And the week before, MVP. Y'all know what it stands for? Most valuable pawpaw. No, it stands for most valuable player. And then we're thinking everything's cool. And then she's at bat. Swings and tears her knee up. I told her to make sure she tells all her boyfriends that. I got such a powerful swing, I broke my own leg. So I don't look like she says, look, I saw a guy passing by the other day, head is going aside, and he said, I don't dial 911, I dial 357. There you go. So watch. Trouble will rear its head again. And every time you think you just got your breathing, and trouble will rear its head again. So watch this. But if trouble does return to your house, you can take comfort because now you're so much more prepared when it comes. My boys get on me and say, I just love flashlights too much. I'm always getting flashlights. Every Christmas I give them flashlights. I try to find the best flashlights, house lights I can find. Why do I do that? Not because I just got a kick out of playing with flashlights when I was a little boy. No. It's because we've been stuck on several occasions, especially in Benson. We would go for weeks at a time without power when things would happen. We had a hurricane come through Benson, kill one of our members. People said hurricanes don't come through Benson. It did. And it killed one of our members. We were without power for 2 weeks. And then when we got to Williamson, I'm thinking, well, at least now we won't have this happen again. And sure enough, a tree fell during a hurricane and took out the power line because we're on the back street. We were without power for 2 weeks again. And so I just always like to have a flashlight ready so I can at least see where, I can at least walk through the house without the power. But, now I'm better prepared. Now when it goes out, it's so funny. It is absolutely funny because the power go out, and I hear Linda say, oh, you know where the flashlights are. I know you got one. Or at Christmas time, the boys will shake the box and go, or the bag or whatever, and they'll go, oh, flashlight. You know, and again, watch this now. Here's a scripture that's always taken in the negative, so I want you to listen carefully to this. Please listen carefully. No chastising seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now watch this. When we think of chastisement, we think of always negative. I've done something wrong. God's taking me to the woodshed. That's what I used to think. God's chastising me. I've done something wrong. He's taking me to the woodshed. Can you please not think it that way? That does happen. SDC and Daniel, when they were little. I remember one time, this one guy was talking junk to his wife. And I told him, I said, and this was real, he wasn't cutting up. He was talking junk to his wife. And it was going to hurt her because he had already hurt her one time before. And I told him, I said, son, you better back off. And he said, yeah, preacher. I said, you ain't never been whooped till you've been whipped by a preacher. And Daniel said, and this he said, yeah. Yeah, bless those fellows' hearts. I used to lay them on the bed and put them across my leg, and I'd hit my leg as hard as I'd hit them. I'd say, make a noise, boys. Their mama would say, well, you got them good that time. Yeah, I did. My leg would be all bruised. No chastening is good at the present. Think about chastising as this, training. No, that's just think about this heavy-duty training. You know, D.C. was on a football team in Bath. We were the Dolphins, right, D.C.? It was the Bath Dolphins. Do you know, we did this for 3 years or 4 years. I don't think they lost more than in 3 or 4 years. I don't think they lost more than four games. It was like 4 games in 3 years, whatever it was. They would just mow over the guys. And somebody said, well, how do they keep just mowing over the guys? It's because in practice, we practiced harder than we played. So when they got on the field, actually, the hardest part of their week was practice. The easiest part of their week was the game. Wow. Now, if they hadn't practiced, the hardest part of the week would have been the game. Some of us are wondering why we're going through things. Or why do we have to train so hard? Because there's something coming down the road and God's trying to prepare you for it. I remember that day. I do remember that day that I was sitting there on the sideline and the head coach was in front of me, right in front of me. And they called a bad call. And when they called a bad call, I hollered out. I think DC was even involved in this. Called a bad call in DC. I'm not sure. And I hollered to the referee. I said, "Are you blind?" And the head coach was just standing in front of me. He couldn't hear me. All he could see, he was just doing this. And I hollered, "Are you blind?" And the referee threw down the flag and said, 10 yards. And the head coach turned around and looked at me and said, "I don't know what I did. I just raised my hands." So I saw him about a couple years ago. And I said, "Roland, come here." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Remember that day we were playing and you got that 10 yards for raising your hands?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "It wasn't for raising your hands." He said, "What was it for?" I said, "It was for that big mouth preacher behind you." He said, "Well, what did you do?" And I said, "I hollered, 'Was he blind?'" He said, "That's why." DC, 30 years old, and he just found out. Okay. All right. But he forgave me. No chastening seems joyful for the present. Praise God I'm going through this. Praise God you just stomped me. Praise God I broke my leg. Praise God my arm got hurt. Praise God my feelings got hurt. Praise God that I don't understand this. No, it's God I don't understand. God, I got to know. You got to help me. I just can't figure this out. It doesn't seem joyful at the moment, but later you'll see that God was training you for something bigger and badder. Amen? Here you go. Why? Because here's what you're going to do. And we're getting out of here. I love this. Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani, you know, and when 9-1-1 happened, how he was the man? I mean, he was absolutely the man. You know, you can talk about him. I don't necessarily agree with everything he agrees with, but there's one thing I do agree with. He's a powerful leader. And I went and heard him talk. And he told me, not me, but he told us, it was really funny. We're sitting there and he goes, and on 9-11, he says, "I was so intense in what I was trying to help all those workers," talking to all those workers. He said, "George Bush was standing right in front of me. I didn't even see him." And he said, "I was still going at it. Yeah, y'all can do this," and blah, 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 blah. And he said, "There's the President of the United States standing right there going." He said, "I was so intense on trying to help these people that I didn't even see the man with the plan." Wow. So he says, in times of crisis, that's when good leaders emerge. Matter of fact, George Bush even said himself, you know, how awesome he was at 9-11, all the things he did. And when people were scared to go back and have baseball games and scared to get back into it, the very first game after 9-11, who goes out and throws out the first pitch? George Bush. Why? Because he's trying to show people you don't have to be afraid in crisis. See, George Bush said until 9-11, it was a mediocre, just every kind of day going through the presidency. He said, but on that day, things changed. And now, after 9-11, and now after people's had a chance to look in retrospect, do you know that he has one of the highest ratings now? Maybe not right there at the end, but he's got it now because people realize what happened. So watch this. Share what you've learned. Don't hold it back. Share. Talk to them. I don't mean like you know everything. I don't mean that way. I don't go to them and go, and don't do this. You don't know nothing. No. Just go to them and say, look, I know this hurts, you know, but can I talk to you for a minute? A lot of times I'll even see people someplace at Walmart or something, or see somebody in food line, or see somebody at a post office, and I'll see them going through something, hear them talking. And I know I don't like to get in other people's business and talk to people like that, but. I'll go, can I talk to you for a minute? And they go, yes, sir. What is it? And I go, I couldn't help but overhear, and you were talking so loud, and I heard you, what's going on. And can I share some stuff with you? I did that yesterday. Just yesterday, twice. Somebody was talking, they were so loud, and what they were talking, it was almost like the Lord said, okay, speak up, because David's walking by. We want David to hear this so he can butt in. And so I butted in. But each time Sometimes you walk away and see tears in people's eyes. They're going, wow. You see, Titus 2 and 7 says, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. See, when all this is going on, when you share people the benefits of what you've gone through, it keeps your wisdom fresh. It keeps you on top of things. In all of this, every bit of this, you've got to remember this. This is something, if you don't remember anything else today, here's all, look, remember, there's your plan. There's God's plan. I would love to be on my plan. Just let me get there. Matter of fact, a lot of times I'll see it right in my way, right in front of me, I can grab it. And by the time I go to grab it, here it goes, gopher hole. By the time I can really put my hands on it, there we go, something else happened, phone call, text, something. So again, you know, and I'll be sometimes just trying to relax. When I'm trying to relax or working on a sermon or doing whatever, and I'm just relaxing. And then the phone will ring or there'll be a text or something come in, and here it goes. And I have to say, is what I always say, watch this, problems, you will not rob my peace in the name of Jesus. Problems, you will not rob my peace. Because sometimes it's not Satan, sometimes it's God. And if God sends them, that's one thing he wants you to be able to say is, you will not rob my peace. That's part of the learning experience. So watch this, know this, here's what helps me. I know God has a plan. And I know God has a path. It's not the path I want. It might not be the plan I want. But I know God's got a plan, and I know God's got a path. And so when I'm in this, remember, God has a unique purpose and path for every last one of us. Do you know if, and I want y'all to do this at the end, do you know that nobody sounds like you? You can be identified by a voice print. Did you know that? So if nobody sounds like you, when you praise God in the trial, guess what God hears from you? Nothing that he hears from anybody else. It's just you. He hears your unique voice print. So he knows when you're praising. Matter of fact, it's an awesome thing because when you praise, power comes down. When you praise, he comes around. The Bible says he dwells in the midst of people's praise. And power comes down. In the midst of praise. I may not can pray my way out of a problem. I may definitely can't complain my way out of a problem. Matter of fact, watch this. Complain. Remember this. Complain. Remain. That was worth the price of admission today. Complain. Remain. Praise and be raised. Complain. Remain. Praise and be raised. It's your choice. And remember, nobody has a voice print like yours. So when you praise unto God, he hears that. And he says, well, you know what? That boy's going through that chastising. That boy's going through that problem. That woman's going through that pain. But she's praising me anyway. And I hear her. Out of all the other people, I can hear her because her voice is so unique. Wow. So now, knowing that God's got this, watch this. Watch this. Our job is to keep searching for that plan. I guarantee you, he's not going to tell you right now what you're going to be doing 10 years from now. He may show you a direction, but I guarantee you know that most people, when they get their BS, they seldom do they wind up working where they got their BS in the area. They wind up doing something else. They come and show their credentials to somebody and go, wow, you got these credentials. We really could use you in this department. Who would have thunk after they saw my resume because, see, they saw my engineering, but then they saw my Bible and pastoral ministries. And so when I went to Fountain, they said, yeah, he's an engineer, cool, but we want him with his pastor skills because we need him to talk to people. And then a year or two later, when I got promoted to management, I'm in management, and I said, and he was talking about somebody else, and I said, well, that's cool. I said, it's amazing. How you choose people to do certain things. He said, yeah, like you. I said, what? He said, engineering manager. I said, yeah. He said, I work for you, engineering. What was it for? He said, it's because you were a pastor. It was your Bible degree that got you this job, not your engineering degree. He said, engineers are a dime a dozen. What you have, isn't. Wow. Never knew it. Been there all that time. never knew it. But you see, again, keep following His path, seek His purpose, walk the path. Now watch this. This is totally up to you. Not up to me. It's not up to anybody else in this room. Remember, just like you have an individual voice print, you also have an individual plan. It may involve with other people. Like when we go to prison on Thursday nights, God's got us all together, but at the same time, when we spread out, we're separate. We're all going to different places, talking to different people. There's 700-something people there, and we're trying to talk to every last one of them. And so we're trying to talk to all those people. And we go in there real quick, do what we got to do. Sometimes it's like, just like drop the load and keep on going. But we go in and we talk to them. And where I go, we have to go so fast, they at least allow us to put these outlines. If we get on Tuesday night, I get those outlines to the prisoners. Those prisoners say, please bring more outlines. Please bring more outlines. It's telling us how to talk to each other. It's teaching us how to grow. Please don't stop bringing those. And used to I walk through and I could talk to them, but I don't have time anymore because there's so much to be done. And so I come in and say a little bit, I talk individually, give them those outlines, and then go. You know, but it's amazing how God still, watch this. All of us just follow the plan. Then learn the lessons. It's up to you. Learn the lessons that only tough times can teach you. Make the necessary adjustments. Adjust your sails. I don't like the way the wind's blowing, but I can adjust the sail. Can you imagine Columbus when he's trying to get to the new world and he had to ride the wind? What if he said, I don't like the way the winds are blowing this morning. I don't think I'm going to go that way. I'm not going to adjust my sails. We'll just sit here till the wind picks us back up. How long would it have taken Columbus extra? And where would he wound up at? He already thought he was in America and he was in the West Indies. Can you imagine where he wound up? So watch this. It's important. Learn the lessons. Adjust your sails. Choices that are pleasing to your Creator. When he sees you doing that, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you shall go, and I will guide you with my eye. Psalm 32:8. I'm closing right now. Again, I keep putting that up there because some of you, I want you to make sure you get it. You say, he had showed that slide 15 times. Well, guess what? It may have took 15 times for somebody to get it. Amen? I've been on that bottom one so long, I wouldn't know what the top one was like. Matter of fact, when I ever hit a top one like that, I'm thinking something's wrong. When I catch a straight one across, I go, wait a minute, something happened. Did I wake up in somebody else's body this morning? Like right, Brother Billy talking about, I must be dead because I woke up and nothing hurts. Is there something wrong? So watch. Watch this now. DC, come get ready. Again. When everything is going against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. That was Henry Ford. You know Henry Ford, who, you know, he didn't invent the car. I think it was Walter Chrysler that actually made the car the best, the Chrysler. Did y'all know that? It was Chrysler, not Ford. Okay, I just thought y'all wanted to hear that. Okay, obviously you didn't. That's all right. Look, but do you know that Henry Ford, he made it affordable for every man. That's what he did. He invented the assembly line. He made it affordable so every man could own a car. And his Model A and Model T's, they were so awesome, and people were wanting them. And here's this man with all this stuff, and the wind changed. They wanted something. Here's how you would do it. Like Brandon said the other night, you can have any color you want as long as it's black. They said, we want other color cars. You don't need other color cars. We'll just go black. And do you know he almost lost all of that because he couldn't adjust his sails and make other color cars? Of course, he came around. It's so simple. When you're going through things, whenever you're going through something, you got to know this. God's got your back. I don't understand all the things. There's a lot of things I don't understand. I just don't understand. I got so many things in my life, so many questions I'd love to ask God that He can give me a straight answer right then, face to face, just tell me why He did this. But you know what? There's some things I won't know until I get to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I'm pretty sure it won't matter then anyway. I don't understand. I just don't understand. When I went to the hospital last week, I was expecting C just to get on up and come walking out and go, oh, it's just a bad sprain. She'll be back playing next week. Because she's going to be somewhere today where Wake Forest and other people are going to be watching her. Good chance of a scholarship. Why did God allow her to be out now? There's a reason. Maybe there's a bigger school somewhere else that's going to give her a bigger scholarship. Who knows? I don't understand why certain things happen the way they do. I don't know. But I do know that God knows, and I can trust Him. Why did my mother die, tore all to pieces, her legs cut off, and everything messed up in her? Why did that happen? I don't know. She trusted God, but she's with Him now. I don't understand. Why did DC's mom die at 38? I don't know, but God knows. But I can say this, through it all, through all that pain, through all that hurt, eventually I can look back and say, you know what? It made me stronger. It made me much stronger. And it taught me to adjust my sails. I can't explain a lot of things. People come to me, one of the first things they ask when I'm counseling is, why? And the first thing I tell them is, I can't answer that. If you want that question, you better go to somebody who's got a crystal ball. I don't have one. I can't tell you why. I can just help you march through it. Everybody, please stand. Remember, we can't change the wind, but we can adjust the sails. And that airplane was a whole lot better going against the wind. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around, nobody looking to see who's doing what. I just want to ask you. Is there anybody here right now that you're like that airplane? The winds of adversity are coming against you strong. And maybe you didn't even realize that it's lifting you higher than you ever could have been without it. But you're just needing God to do something to show you, to strengthen you, to encourage you with nobody looking around. We just raise that hand so I can pray for you right now. I don't understand. I just don't understand. I don't understand. The winds have changed. I just don't understand. What I thought was going to be is not. What I thought was going to happen didn't happen. The way I had it all pictured out, I had that straight line to my goal, and God's let me hit all these obstacles. One thing you don't realize when you look at that picture with Him hitting all those obstacles is it's still a line going up. Not straight, but it's going up to meet that goal, and it's going to meet that goal if you stay. If you stay in the ship. Lord, right now, those people that raise their hands, Lord, those that may have wanted to and just said, Lord, you see this, that's fine. Touch them right now. Touch them all. Help them to realize this is not draining them, but instead, this is making necessary adjustments for them to grow. Touch them, lift them up, encourage them. Let them know there's something greater in store. And one day they're going to be able to go back and help somebody else going through something similar. And it's going to be so, so awesome. So, so awesome. You know, in the Karate Kid Part 2, I remember in the Karate Kid, y'all can look up now. Y'all remember in the Karate Kid Part 2 when Daniel's son is standing up out there by the docks, and there's this great big thing with a hook on it. And he says, I want you to learn this technique. And he says, he's up there doing it like this, and he says, but don't play with that right now because you're not ready. And while Mr. Miyagi is talking, Daniel-san pulls the thing, and here comes this big old heavy, heavy metal piece ready to go through him. And it goes by and tears his shirt, and he falls in the water. And he goes, Daniel-san, are you all right? He says, yeah, that was pretty stupid. That's what Daniel-san said. And then Mr. Miyagi said, that same thing Father told Miyagi when he did it. One day you're going to be looking at somebody and they're going to go, that sure was crazy. And you go, yeah, same thing God told me when I did it. But I'm glad I learned because now I'm telling you how not to do this. You see, if you learn from somebody's mistake, that's wisdom. If you learn from your own mistake, that's being an example. I think I've been more of an example than wisdom over the years. But I thank God. All that we'll come and pray. You got to pray for something. Come on up here and pray. Come on and pray. God's got us. God's got our back. All that we'll come and pray. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for all you do for us, Lord. We thank you, God, that we're not by ourselves. We thank you, God, that we don't have to walk alone. We thank you, God, that you're with us. We thank you, God, that we're learning lessons in life that's going to help us help others. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you're awesome and you're powerful. And Lord, you do something special to both of us, all of us, all the time. And I thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. And you're powerful. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Come on up here and pray. We got time. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. 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 You're awesome. And we trust you 100%, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I don't understand it, but I know, Lord, something great's coming from it. We don't understand it, Lord, but something great is coming from it, and we thank you for it. 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 There's our plan, there's God's plan. A lot of times they don't even intersect. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. God, you got a plan for us, and we've got a plan for us. Help us, God, to intersect those plans. We thank you, Father. DC will be up here leading, and DC will say, and I'm not sure about this, and DC will say, Daddy, just climb in my pocket. And run with it. I remember years ago me telling DC, just climb in my pocket, son. Now he's telling me the same thing. Just climb in my pocket, son. We got this. Well, God's saying that today, just climb in his pocket. Climb in his pocket. It'd be nice to ride straight to that finish line, but it's not. It'll never happen. This is us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you encourage us and that you show us and that you help us. In the name of Jesus. I ask you also, Lord, to touch Emily today, Lord, as she lays her little child to rest. Lord, it's been a bad battle for her over the last year. And, Lord, I thank you, God, that baby's peacefully resting in your arms. But I ask you to touch Emily, touch the mom and the dad in a very powerful way right now. Bring them peace. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And Father, help us go out this week and tell somebody. Tell somebody, first bring somebody with us in next week, but also tell somebody when we see them going through something. Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to speak up and say, hey, you know what? I've been through those things before, and I'm going to tell you what God did for me. And just try it and see what God can do for you. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen. Y'all make sure y'all get around Brother Benny to help him when Sister Barbara comes back and looks for that chain. All right. I'm being led out by...